Heavenly Father, I pray that we can walk in that victory of that all-knowing, that all we need, we already have. As you place your Holy Spirit into our hearts, into our lives, God, may we walk in that victory. May we not walk on this planet wanting or desiring things outside of your will, God. But may we just line up with what you've already given us. I pray for this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jesus tells us this in Matthew 6. He says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." Hallelujah. But I see threefold things in those couple scriptures right there. The first thing is to seek him. The second thing is to live right. And then the last thing is, I'll say, just chillax. Or Jesus says, and don't worry, because God will, and I underline will in my notes and underline it yourself in your hearts, God will give us everything that we need. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, he already has given you everything that you will need. Every spiritual gift is yours. It is placed inside your heart. Remember now, though, that what we want, because we get confused sometimes, what we want and how much we complain sometimes about not having something in our life, it's a lot different than when God is working in your life and then when you're trusting in him. Because when you're doing that and you're seeking him and you're allowing him to be your everything that you need, your wants will transform into a solid need of him. That's how when you line up with your will with his will and your way with his way, the things that you used to want, the things that you used to desire, they'll all change into just this solid, sold out need of him. And all we really need is him. And I'm not just saying that for cliche or saying that for to put on your refrigerator, but it's the truth. All we really need is him in our lives. He answers every issue into our life. He tackles every problem and any adversity, that adversary that comes our way. He's bigger than all of that. Probably one of my favorite scriptures, the scripture that we started this church on, is King David in Psalm 37, 3 through 5. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then, here it is, then, when you trust in the Lord and you do good, then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. The psalmist in Psalm 73 tells us, "Whom have I in heaven but you?" And I love this second part. And may this be a prayer for each and every one of us, man. May this be the place where our hearts live, this last statement. I desire you more than anything on earth. I love that. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. For in him, through him, by him, lies everything that we ever could need or want or desire. I mean, everything we want, everything we desire, and anything that we'll ever need is placed in Jesus Christ. Solomon tells us this in Proverbs 15. Better to have little. I've had little. I've had a lot. Not very often. More often, I've had little. But better to have little with fear for the Lord. I love that. Better to have little than fear for the Lord. Paul talks extensively about that, how to be content in every situation because he can do all things through Christ because he strengthens him. It doesn't matter if you have a lot or you have a little, if you have Jesus, you got everything you need. So everything else gets tossed to the side. But Solomon says, hey, better to have little with fear for the Lord than have great treasure and inner turmoil. And then he goes on to say, a bowl of vegetables with someone you love is better than steak with someone you hate. Now, I'll debate him a little bit there. I'm not a big fan of vegetables. But think about that. A bowl of vegetables with someone you hate is better than a steak with someone you hate. One more, last one. And I think we've gone over this one before. Psalm 84. A single day in your courts. And what a bold statement. That a single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. It doesn't matter what my day was like. It doesn't matter what tomorrow is going to bring. It doesn't matter what next week. It doesn't matter what happens in my life. As long as I have you in my life, Jesus, you know, a single day hanging out with you is better than 1,000 doing what I used to do. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God. In other words, I'd rather just be the lowest on the totem pole. I'd rather, it doesn't matter. As long as I'm yours, Lord, it just doesn't matter. Because I would rather be the gatekeeper in the house of God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. It doesn't matter. As long as you're involved in my life and I'm involved in your life, it just doesn't matter. Because a single day hanging out with you is better than 1,000 elsewhere. But up to this point, we've seen Moses lead the Israelites. And we saw this a couple weeks ago with cliffs on both sides. And their backs were to the Red Sea. The Egyptians were on their horses that they were approaching. And then God, working through just one hand of Moses. Moses put up his hand and God worked through that one hand of Moses. He made a way. He made a path. He gave the Israelites rescue. And then God, with the same hand of Moses working through him, eliminated their present enemy as through their faith they walked on dry ground. And as they were walking through it, as the Red Sea was parted, they walked through on dry ground and remained dry till they got to the other side of that through faith. But there's one problem though. Well, actually there's a few problems. Possibly in your own life, there's many problems. Because I don't think we just get one problem at a time. I think we're multitaskers too. I think some we put on the shelf or whatever. But I think possibly in our own life we have many problems. But I tell you what, and by the way, when you got problems in your life, that tells me, that tells the people around you that you're still breathing. Because we just read, hey, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to bring trouble in itself. Jesus himself will say that. So if you're not having problems, you're probably, I don't know what you're doing, because you're not living, obviously, because everybody on this planet has problems. And as long as the world rejects Jesus Christ, we're going to have issues, because there's going to be sin. And so either the trumpet sounds and Jesus returns, or we die a physical death and we go back to him. So we're going to have problems. We're going to have many problems in our life. We're going to have issues in our life. We're going to have adversity in our life. We're going to have problems and strife and just junk going on. But I tell you what, as noisy as it, I mean, sometimes my problems is just noisy. It's just like everything just irritates me. It's like, turn that down. It's like, there's nothing on. Well, turn it on then, or do something. It's just noisy, and it may just seem desperate as you start walking during the day. I get in the car, and I before I turn the key, I said, Lord, you got to help me today. You got to strengthen me today. But some days it's just like every yellow light. You ever get one of them days where it's like, should I brake or should I speed up? Should I break? It's like all day. It's like every stinking yellow light. It's like, what is happening? And then you go 6 months and not get a yellow light. But it's just like, just all of a sudden, you just every yellow light, every yellow. Ooh, did I get through that one? Okay, I hope that. Did anyone have a light up there or those cameras? But as desperate or noisy as that may seem, are we remaining attentive to God's still small voice? Are we still listening to God? As noisy as it gets, as the ambulances or the state troopers fly by going 80, are we remaining attentive to God's still small voice. God will provide. Do we realize that? When we pray, do we realize in that promise, in that truth, that God will provide? Hey, God did provide for us. Tell me one thing that God did provide for you. It blares Jesus Christ. God provided a spotless lamb that could take away the sins of the world so that we could be set free, so that we could have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. I mean, we are Christians. We are joined with Christ. He will never forsake us. So God will provide because God already did provide. Now, this isn't a prosperity message. You'll never hear me preach a prosperity. See, I can't even say it.
That's all, folks.
But he will never forsake us. Let's see if the Israelites can figure that out. Let's look at Exodus 16, 1 through 3. Then the whole community of Israel set out from Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin between Elim and Mount Sinai. They arrived there on the 15th day of the second month, 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt. So they've been gone 1 month. There too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death. Emphasis on mine, on that. Hey, they hadn't eaten in a while. It's been a month since they left Egypt. They were out of food. And I just think of me, like Sunday after church, and then if I have a couple meetings or whatever, I can get pretty cranky. I mean, when I got low blood sugar, I can get pretty cranky. I mean, these men and women, think about it, and families, they're now free. They're free. They're free from slavery. They're free from having feet put on their throats and making bricks without straw and all those things that Pharaoh made them do. Who knows what else they made them do? But they were free from slavery, led by God and led by Moses and led by the promises of God that they were going to the promised land. And what do? They look back and they glorify the old days. The good old days. Remember when we used to make bricks with no straw? Wasn't that awesome? No, they didn't. Of course, they didn't say that, but they remembered the good things from their past. So your past was ridiculous, man. For 430 years, you were oppressed slaves. Yeah, but we sat around and we smoked and we drank and we partied and wow. Not once have I ever, me personally, wished that I could return myself back to the days when I was dead. I never once have, man, I wish I could just go back for a weekend, man, and go back to Return of the Living Dead and go back and do the things that I used to do. Hang out with the zombies I used to hang out with and put my elbow up on that bar stool and act real cool for about 3 hours until I was broke. And then, wow, oh man, I remember the good old days. But that's what they're doing here. This is what they're bringing glory to their past. They're free. They're released. They're redeemed by God. And I tell you what, when we ever share our past or when we have an opportunity to do something like that, bring glory of the rescue from the past. Bring that glory from your rescue. And I tell you what, and leave the rest to rest back there. But we had the pots. The pots were full of meat. The pots were full of this and all of these things. Paul tells us this in Philippians 3. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things, or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, and this is so key, I think, to taking a step and putting the next foot in front of the next foot and the next foot in front of the next foot. I don't care what you're dealing with on this planet, because this personally worked for me, just getting my focus off of what was behind me and just realizing that what God has in store for me, what is going to be down the road, is going to be unbelievable. And Paul tells us this, hey, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. He's like, hey, forgetting the past. Hey, forget the past. You what, bring it up and sit around and talk about it and glorify it and just, oh, well, we used to do this and we used to do that. But Paul says it, and looking forward to what lies ahead. Imagine the things that God has in store for those, for us. I mean, it's amazing what he wants to do in our lives through us, to bring others to Christ through us. Paul says, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. He's saying, forget the past. Forget the past and look forward to what lies ahead. That, you know what? Because the past, there was guilt, there was shame, there was condemnation, there was Loserville written all over it. But the future looks so bright, I got to wear shades now. And the same thing for you. Paul, it's so true. Forget the past. Just look forward. I mean, there's one of my issues with when I was going to AA back in the day, and NA, and all the other A's that they had. Because you would have to stand up and say, hello, I'm so-and-so. Well, I didn't say that. I said, hello, my name is Dan, and I'm an alcoholic. No, I'm not. I've been sober for 17 years. Why should I have to go to a meeting and stand up and say I'm anything other than saved by the blood of Jesus Christ? That's why I have a... Stop talking about it. I would go to those meetings and want to go out and drink and do drugs just because we talked about it for an hour and we smoked a whole. It was like a one big gathering of people who were drunk. It's just like, hey, if we're going to talk about it, let's just go do it. Why don't we talk about Jesus? Oh, don't bring up Jesus. But let's talk about Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lamb and how he healed me and restored me and reconciled me back to his Father. I mean, people are in bondage to meetings. We know friends that have been going to meetings for 30 years. Why are you going to meetings? Go to a Bible study. Read your Bible. Jesus Christ, if you're free, you are free indeed.
Amen.
I mean, I don't want to bash or whatever, but down the road, we will have a one-step program in this church. It's just one step. Give your life to Jesus Christ, and you're done. You don't have to go to any meetings. You don't have to 12 steps to what? There's one step. Give your life to Christ. Allow him to work through you and focus all your energies on what lies ahead and get your mind off of what you used to do. I mean, let's just move on. So they're sitting there. They're complaining to Moses, complaining to Aaron. Oh, the pots used to be full. We used to have food. And they didn't bring up all the other things. But then the Lord said to Moses, look. I like when the Lord says that. Look. I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day, the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. And I love that. You can see the beginning of the Lord just saying, no, I'm going to test you and see if you're listening or you got one ear open or you're just letting it go in and going out. And I tell you what, 2,000 years later, and he's still doing the same thing because we don't follow his instructions. Verse 5, on the sixth day they will gather food, and when they prepare it, there will be twice as much as usual. But I love that. I will test them to see if they will follow my instructions. Now the prophet, I don't know if you've ever heard of this prophet, Bob Dylan. You ever heard of Bob Dylan? But he said, he sang, you're going to have to serve somebody. You're going to have to serve somebody. You're going to serve somebody. Yeah. Yes, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. And the Lord's here in our story, I believe, and he's like, listen, I'm going to test you. to see if you're listening. And are you serving me? Are you worshiping me? Are you in awe in me? Are you still thinking about, you know, the pots with the food in it and the things that were keeping you away from me in the past? Or are you one of my kids? We're going to the promised land. I promise you, we're going to this promised land. I'm taking all of you with me. None of you are going to enter because you're all complainers and backbiters and all these other things. But it doesn't matter. I'm giving you a test here. Jesus tells us this in Matthew 12. He says, anyone who isn't with me opposes me. And I love the way he says that, because if you're not with him, that means you're against them. Do you follow Jesus? Because if you're not, you're actually fighting against him to not allow him into your heart. Well, I let him in. No, you're either with him or you're not with him. There's no middle ground here. I don't know how people try to dwell. There's no little there. Anyone who isn't with me opposes me. And anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. So you're working with the Lord? Well, not in this. Well, then you're working against him. You're pushing. As he saw Paul on the way to Damascus, and he's like, Paul, why are you kicking against the goads? And a goad is those little spikes that they would put on an animal, and it would keep the animal going straight down the road. And if it started to go to the left or it started to go to the right, that stick would get in him. And whoa, I better go straight down this road because that hurts. So Jesus said to Paul, Paul, why are you kicking against the goats? I'm the only one who's ever existed that can help you, and you don't want nothing to do with me. What is your problem, man? I'm the only one who can help you, the only one that can keep you safe, the only one that can keep you secure, the only one that can save your life, help you eternally. And you're battling me. You're fighting against me. So say, if you're not working with me, you're actually working against me. Will we, or do we allow the Lord to guide as he provides? He'll provide something. Are we allowing him to guide us? Are we trying to get out of his will? Are we thinking about the past or when the good old days? Or when the Lord provides something, are we allowing him to guide us in our life? So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, not just a few, they were all complaining. Said all to all of them, by evening you will realize it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. See, I would have already known that. When I was standing on with my back against the Red Sea, and all of a sudden it was dry, and then I went to the other side, and then remember they had the worship concert with Miriam, and they were shaking the tambourine, and they were so happy, and they were singing a song about what... To me, that didn't happen naturally. I would have already have known that it was the Lord that took me out of Egypt. In the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord because he has heard your complaints. Watch what Moses says here, which are against him. We talked about this before. When you're complaining about something, you're not complaining to that person. You're complaining about God. What, God's not providing for you? I don't get it. So what's happening here? You're complaining against him, not against us. What have we done that you should complain about us? Then Moses added, the Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and bread to satisfy you in the morning, for he has heard all your complaints against him. Now, if I was God, this would have ended a little differently. But I'm not God. He knows that. What have we done? Yes, your complaints are against the Lord, not against us. Then Moses said to Aaron, announce this to the entire community of Israel. Present yourselves before the Lord, for he has heard your complaining. And as Aaron spoke to the whole community of Israel, they looked out toward the wilderness. There they could see the awesome glory of the Lord in the cloud. Then the Lord said to Moses, I've heard the Israelites' complaints. Now tell them in the evening you will have meat to eat, and in the morning you will have all the bread you want. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp. And the next morning, the area around the camp was wet with dew. When the dew evaporated, a flaky substance as fine as frost blanketed the ground. And we are introduced to manna. But before we get into the manna, what is that? Why didn't God just provide animals and the birds, and because he was going to feed them, he was going to provide for them anyway. Why didn't he just allow the animals to freely roam and have the water and all that there and the birds just all day. You know what? Because that's the way I'd want it. Hey, well, I'm complaining. And great plan, God, but can you just have them float around all day or just have them here? So, you know, maybe I'm lazy one morning and I don't want to, or you know, I don't want to grab the manna or the birds. They're kind of quick at time. Can you just make it easier for me? Because that's the way I would want it. Just have them, I mean, a great plan, but I think my way would be a little better. Now, Jeremiah says this in Lamentations 3. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. And remember that. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. We have new mercies. Every single morning you wake up, you get a whole fresh new stack of mercies. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. But it's that each morning, that mercy, God's desire is not to make it easy for me. Because my way sounds awesome. Just have the animals all over the place. You know those birds? You know, can you make them a little slower? Because they're kind of quick after they wake up a little bit. He's like, no, listen. His desire, and it's not just for me, is that I wake up, that we wake up every morning and we're seeking him. That we're depending on him for everything. Every single thing. He's like, now I'm testing you to see if you're going to do what I'm going to provide for you. But there's a little caveat to this. You're going to have to go out, and we're going to see. You're going to have to go out and gather just enough for this day. Now, are you listening? Are you listening to how I'm telling you this? Because just go out and do this for this day. And then next day, I'll provide for you again. And then the next day, I'll provide for you again. And then the next day, I'll provide for you again. That's how walking in faith, not by what you can see. Because at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you're like, man, I'm kind of hungry. I hope he shows up again tonight. Hope that manna shows up again tomorrow. I was talking to my lawn guy a couple months ago, and I told him, I said, you know what's weird? Because he said, man, your lawn looks so awesome. And I said, you know what's weird? I see all these people watering their grass in my neighborhood like every other day or every 2 days or odd and even or whatever. So 2 days a week. And I said, I think I've watered my lawn 3 times all year. And my lawn looked exactly like the people that were watering their lawn every day. I'm like, how could that pot? That's so weird to me. It's just like, I'm like, tell me, what's up? He goes, here's the key to that. It's because when you don't water it, the grass has to try to find the water. If you're watering it every day, if you're watering it all the time, the grass will start growing sideways because the water's there. It's going to seek the water. But when you hang off on the water, it's going to and the grass is going to get stronger. It's going to get thicker because it's going to go down into a solid foundation. It's seeking the water. And it's like, oh, what a great point. Now my grass is a little brown because I tested that theory. And it hasn't rained in a long time, though it did rain today, so I waited. But I think that's what God wants us to do, not water the grass every other day on odd or even, but to seek him, to depend on him, to let our roots go into him. I mean, look, it's at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You know that they're saying, man, I hope he shows up tomorrow because, man, I overslept today and the manna dried up and I didn't get enough today. I hope, you know. Remember, God is testing them here. He said it himself, I'm going to test you to see if you're listening to me. I'm testing you to see if you're going to be obedient to me. God himself will test us. Remember Jesus' words in Luke 16? We talked about this a few months ago. Jesus says this, if you are faithful in little things, and I love this. Now, Jesus is talking about money right here, but you can apply this into any aspect of what you're doing for God or doing for each other. But he says, if you're faithful in little things, you will be faithful in the large ones. Jesus, I'm testing you on this. I just want to see if you're listening to me. Because I tell you, we have a long road to tow here. We are going to come up against a lot of adversaries. A lot of wars are going to be happening. Listen, do you seek the kingdom first above all things? If you're faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. You don't think the Lord's going to test us or try us in these areas? And to see if we're faithful in an area before he puts something on our heart to move out in faith and do something for him? And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? And then I love this here. No one can serve two masters, just like our prophet Bob Dylan earlier. You're going to serve somebody. And Jesus is like, listen, I'm testing you on this. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve your grumpiness and your complaining? Are you going to serve that guy? Or are you going to serve me? Because Jesus says, hey, you're going to hate one and love the other. Which dog are you going to feed? You've heard that before. Which dog are you going to feed? That master or this master? God in heaven or the one that makes you, maybe allows you to get your way for a couple hours or get you into a situation through compromise? Look, he says, you will be devoted to one and despise the other. I want to test you. I want to see if you're obedient here. So follow this deal. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to give you meat and I'm going to give you substance to live. But I want to. You're going to do it my way. Why? Because I created all of this. So I'm just testing you to see if you're going to be obedient to me. Exodus 16:15. The Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. What is it? They asked each other. They had no idea what it was. Because it came from heaven. Oh, yeah, I've seen that before at Target. Yeah, they sell it in aisle 9. No, they don't. They had no idea what it was. And Moses told them, it is the food the Lord has given you to eat. What is it? In Hebrew, manhu or manhu, which means, what is it? That's exactly what it means. It means, what is it? So they named it, what is it? Hey, what is it's back? Are you sure? Because I was worried, what is it wasn't going to come tomorrow? What is it here again? Awesome. What is it here? I mean, you'd think they would give it another name after they'd say that. After 38 years, maybe the last 2 years, they wouldn't say it anymore. But it's manna. Many different explanations of what it is. I mean, you could go through and study it for the rest of your life. But I like the commentary that the Bible gives us. Exodus 16:31 says this. The Israelites called the food manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like honey wafers. The book of Numbers tells us this. The manna looked like small coriander seeds and it was pale yellow like gum resin. The people would go out and gather it from the ground. They made flour by grinding it with hand mills or pounding it in mortars. Then they boiled it in a pot and made it into flat cakes. These cakes tasted like pastries baked with olive oil. The manna came down on the camp with the dew during the night. So we get introduced to their food, and he's testing them. And we're going to see now how he's going to test them. These are the Lord's instructions in Exodus 16:16-21. Each household should gather as much as it needs. He says, he just lays it right out. He said, listen, I'm testing you. I'm going to tell you, here it is. I'm going to provide for you, but I'm going to tell you how I'm going to provide for you. Let's see if you follow directions. Let's see, because, you know, the Red Sea, and, you know, now you're not in slavery anymore, and I'm God, and you've been seeing me, and, you know, I'm God. So here's the deal. Each household should gather as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent. So the people of Israel did as they were told. Very good. Some gathered a lot, some gathered only a little. But when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Isn't that just like God? Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. I tell you what, everything that we need, we already have. We have it. Put inside of us by God himself. The same spirit that raised his son from the dead is in us. Each person has what they need already. Then Moses told them, don't keep any of it until morning.
Hey,
I'd be like, yeah, but what happened? What is it? What up? How? What is it? Doesn't come back? How? What is? Because God said it's going to be there. God said it's going to be. Yeah, but you know, what up? How if it doesn't come back? Moses said, don't keep any of it till morning. But some of them didn't listen. Didn't God just say, listen, I'm testing you to see if you're going to listen. But some of them didn't listen and kept some of it till morning. Oh, they're under their pillow and then they ate it. And they're like, oh, this is so awesome. What is it? It's back and I still have some treats for the middle of the night. But by then it was full of maggots and had a terrible smell. Moses was very angry with them. After this, the people gathered the food by morning, each family according to its need. And as the sun became hot, the flakes they had not picked up melted and disappeared. I love that. Listening to the Lord. What a novel approach to being a follower of God. Listen to the Lord. Hey, I listened to the Lord and I had just what I needed. I didn't have more, I didn't have less, but when I listened to the Lord, I had just what I needed. You know what? That happened with the Israelites, and it happens with the New Smyrnaites today. I listened to the Lord, and I had just what I needed. What a surprise. The families who didn't listen had a nasty wake-up call. Maggots and the smell. Does that sound familiar to you? What happened with the last time you didn't listen to the Lord? When he gave you specific directions to do something. And you didn't do it. Didn't smell good. It didn't taste good. Didn't feel right. Holy Spirit's giving you a heartache. God just wasn't satisfying with them with the food. There's principles in here, and there's principles here for us too. He was trying to see if they could be satisfied with him and his word. Bottom line, will you be satisfied with me and my word? We got a long road to go, man. We got a long road to go, woman. We got a long road to go, kids. Are you going to be satisfied with what comes out of my mouth or what the Holy Spirit speaks to you on a daily basis? Or do you need more? Is what I offer enough for you? Listen, you're going to have this, you're going to have that, but you got to do it according to my ways because I created the world. I created the earth. I created you. He was seeing if they could be satisfied with him. Deuteronomy 8 says this, be careful to obey all the commands I am giving you today. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character? The 40 years they're going to go through, just testing your character, proving their character, seeing if they would listen to him, be obedient to him, and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. For 40 years, I'm testing you. Are you listening to me? Look, when you listen, good things. When you don't listen, bad things. Where's the issue here? Where's the problem here? Where's the lack of communication here? I said something, you disobey. Issues, problems, circumstance. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna. I love this. A food previously unknown. He's like, oh, you hungry? Here, try some of that. What's that? What is this stuff? It's awful! A food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. He did it to teach you that people don't live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Think about that. It's not the bread. It's not the sustenance that you can find at Publix or at a restaurant. It comes from Jesus Christ. The truth, the living word. Is that enough for you? Everything we need, we already have, and it's in this book, and it's in our hearts. I mean, manna was a picture of Jesus Christ. Think about this. It was a picture of Jesus Christ. John 6:32 explains this. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. When Jesus says, I tell you the truth, he's telling the truth. He doesn't lie. He doesn't say, oops. He doesn't say, oh, so bad in that one. I really messed. I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. Moses didn't do it. My father did. My father gave you food to eat. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, give us that bread every day. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Later on in his thought in John 6:47, I tell you the truth. When Jesus says, I tell you the truth, what does that mean? He tells them the truth. Anyone who believes has eternal life. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Well, I just don't know if you're saved or not. Excuse me. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. If you believe in him, then you have eternal life. Don't let anybody take that away from you. Walk on this planet knowing that you know that you know that you're saved. And enjoy that and have glory in that. Share that with God. Jesus says, yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Now, check it out. They ate manna in the wilderness. Any of them around today? No. But they're all dead. They all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever, and this bread, which I will offer so the world may live, is my flesh. And then there had major problems for him saying his flesh. But as we take communion and we remember the things that Jesus Christ did for us, but he says, anyone who eats this bread will live forever. Now, in the weeks to come, next week or in 2 weeks, we're going to see about the Sabbath. But did they listen to him? We just read right here that for 40 years he's going to test them to see if this was enough for them. And I ask us in closing tonight, is he enough for us? Is he enough for us? Is God enough for us? Is having a relationship with Jesus Christ enough for you? I mean, are we playing outside the banner as we saw Sunday? Are we shaking the plumb line to get what we need? Let's go to the Lord and ask him for help in our lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth, God. God, I just pray, God, that if we haven't made you our one and only hope and help, God, that we turn to you, God. May we live by faith and not by the things that we see, God. I pray, God, that you illuminate the path that you want us to be on. Feed us with your goodness and your holiness, God. May we drink from the fountain of living water, God. May you sustain us with your holiness. May you clothe us with your Son's righteousness. Would you allow us to be a part of your plan on this planet, God? Put people in our way who don't know you. Give us the words to say at the right time, God. Help us to be soldiers for the kingdom, God. Help us to advance your kingdom. Give us kingdom business to do, God. But God, help us to be sustained by your word and your grace and your mercy, God. Help us to know that we already have in us everything that we need, every spiritual gift you have placed inside of us, God. Help us to walk in victory no matter what is coming our way, God. But God, I pray that we seek your kingdom first above all things, God. God, we thank you this evening. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.